إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، يقول الله تعالى: من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. من عمل صالحا فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever does righteousness, whether male or female, while he is a believer, we will surely cause him to live a good life, and we will surely give them their reward in the hereafter according to the best of what they used to do. This ayah, dear brothers and sisters, is about al-haya al-tayyiba, good life, comfortable life, happy life. A good life is sought after by all human beings, let alone Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, in this ayah in surah An-Nahl, gives us, if you wish, the recipe of the equation, or the formula, or the ingredients of this good life. It is very simple, and inshallah, it is something we are going to deal in this khutbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever does righteousness, and whether male or female, so it applies to everyone, alhamdulillah, like Al-Quran does, unless it is specific to one or the other, then it is specified. So, عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ plus وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ plus إِيمَانٌ, and that is something you have to do in this world, because after death, there will be no iman accepted, nor a good deed or righteousness. So amalun salih, righteousness, good deed, good work, plus iman, belief and faith, leads to a good life in this dunya, a good life in this world that is we are seeking. And then وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that person with the best of what they have done. So you could have done lots of righteous deeds, but Allah will reward you with the best. So it is the best you have done that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His generosity is going to reward you, and definitely that should lead to Al-Jannah. So again, very simply, Righteous deeds plus iman. So iman is a condition, leads to a good life on this earth plus Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarding us in the hereafter. First of all, the fundamental condition is iman, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. The iman is fundamental to the acceptance of righteous deeds. Iman and good deed go hand in hand, dear brothers and sisters. No iman without deeds may be accepted, nor a good deed without iman can have any meaning whatsoever. And if you read in Al-Quran, you will find the ayah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believed and did righteous deeds. You will find that very specific expression, I think, in more than 50 ayah, 52 or so. But also the meaning of that always exists in Al-Quran. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So it is iman plus righteous deeds. They go hand in hand, always together. No iman is rewarded without good deed, and there is no meaning for good deeds without iman. Those who believed and did righteous deeds. So that is the logo, and that is the motto, if you like, in Al-Quran for the acceptance of the deeds. Al-Iman, and here we want to talk about iman as what is in the heart. Of course, we know that Islam and iman are specified. Al-Iman billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rasulihi wal yawm al-akhir wal qadri khayrihi wa sharra. To believe in Allah, in His books, in His angels, messengers, in the day of judgment, and to believe in Al-Qadr, in faith. Nevertheless, today we want to talk about this iman and whatever we describe iman and define iman to be. Al-Iman qawlun wa amalun wa i'tiqad. It is what you say and what you do and before what you believe in. Al-Iman ma waqara fil qalb wa saddaqahu al-amal. What resides in the heart and manifests itself in what you do, in al-amal, in your deeds. And also another definition, قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَتَصْدِيقٌ بِالْجَنَانِ وَعَمَلٌ بِالْأَرْكَانِ. It is uttering with the tongue, that is the iman, we are defining iman, what you utter with your tongue and what you believe in your heart and what is reflected in your actions. قول اللسان, what you utter with your tongue, the fundamental iman is to say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in Allah alone, and to believe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger and prophet and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the final messenger. Also, what the tongue utters is beyond that, reflects the iman. So someone may say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله, but the tongue reflects something else. So the tongue is always a reflection of what we have here and there. And I think it is an Islamic etiquette and practice and akhlaq to listen to people. If someone comes, if you know that person, or you don't, you do not know them, let them talk, let them speak, because then you will know them. What they talk, what they reflect, is a reflection of what they believe, and a reflection of their akhlaq, etc. And also, from your viewpoint, make sure that what you utter with your tongue is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu once heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing him and says, وَكُفَّ عَنْكَ هَذَا. And he pulled his tongue. He says, make sure that you protect yourself against your own tongue. Then he said, and he was a young chap, he said, أَوَمُؤَاخَذُونَ نَحْنُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ بِمَا نَقُولَ. Are we going to be answered for what we say, reckoned for what we say? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ قَالَ مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَنفُسِهِمْ. He said, is it not that what people say that leads them and drop them on their faces in the hellfire, وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the tongue and also what we say is deeds. قَوْلُ اللِّسَانِ Al-Qawl, saying, is indeed the action of the tongue. So there are action of the hands, action of the eyes, action of the ears, action of the feet, etc. Action of the rest of the body. But the tongue has got action, which is talking. And it is talking a lot. If you talk over the phone, and then you end the call, and you look and say, SubhanAllah, 2 minutes 35 seconds. I said so much in 2 minutes 35 seconds. And if you have to write it on a page, you'll find that maybe in a minute you talk a page or more, depending on the speed of some people. We talk a lot, and we need to make sure is what goes out of here is makes Allah happy with us, makes us better Muslims. The other aspect is the heart. And in the hadith al-Nu'man ibn Bashir in Muslim, in al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ فَمَنْ اجْتَنَبَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يوشك أن يواقعه ألا إن لكل ملك حمى وإن حمى الله محارمه. And in the hadith, my quotation is really in another text of the hadith. ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح سائر الجسد وإذا فسدت فسد سائر الجسد ألا وهي القلب. In the hadith, it says, it talks about al-halal and al-haram, that it is the halal is clear and the haram is clear. And sometimes there are a few things in between. We call them shubuhat, suspicions. People with less knowledge, they know less about them. People with no knowledge can know that this belongs here or there. So to avoid shubuhat is to avoid falling in haram. Nevertheless, the hadith says that there is a piece of flesh in the body. If it is good, the rest of the body is good. And if it is bad, the rest of the body is indeed bad. And that is the heart. And the ulama say that the heart is the king of the body. He is the ruling king, the monarch, if you wish. If it is good, strong, straight, the rest of the body will be the same. Like if you have a good king, pious leader, you will see definitely that people are more pious, more straight on the path, and so on. And if the king or the leader or the prime minister or whoever is in charge is corrupted and bad, then you will see the reflection on the people, the follower of the king or the leader. So the heart is very important. That's what I'm alluding to. And the heart, by the way, is the residence of extremely important things. Like it is the king of the body, also al-ikhlas, sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resides there. Allah will not accept any deed unless it akhlasahu wa aswabahu, ayyukum ahsanu amala, the best of you who does good deeds. And Al-Fudail ibn Iyad, he says, akhlasahu wa aswaba, is the most sincere and the most correct. Akhlasahu, it means sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Allah alone. The actions for Allah should be for Allah 100%, not 99.99%. If you assign a partner in what you do, Allah will tell you, I am greater than to have a partner. If you do anything, you pay charity for the sake of Allah, but also for the sake of X, Y, Z, then Allah says, thank you, this is for your X, Y, Z. I don't accept, but 100%. And the ikhlas is in the heart. And by the way, there is an argument, or the ulama says, does the angels يَعْلَمُونَ مَا they write what you say, the angels, good or bad. Do they write your niyyah? I am with the opinion that they do not write your niyyah. They write your actions. The niyyah only Allah knows. Because the angels look and you do something, they say he paid charity, he came to Jum'ah, he said that, he did that. He was nice to his wife, he was bad to his neighbors, etc. All written. But it does not write your niyyah. Allah knows the niyyah. That's why people in the hereafter, they, some of them are ulama, some of them are shaheed, some of them are people who spent a lot of money in the cause of Islam. Allah will ask them and say, oh, for you? And he says, no, it was not for me. So as people will say, you have been generous, you have been courageous, you have been a great scholar, mashallah. And you have that. People said what you wanted. Today you have no reward from me. Ikhlas resides in the heart. That is extremely important. So as many, some ulama, they call it a'malul qulub, the deeds of the hearts, the actions of the heart. And some they say ibadatul qulub, the worship of the heart, such as to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and the believers, such as to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as to have tawakkul, rely on Allah, such as to be happy, ar-rida, to be satisfied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask you to do. And so on and so forth. Of course, the iman resides in the heart. Piety, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. Piety is in the heart. But of course, all of that shall be reflected in the wings. So, and that is the third stage, is the reflection of what we say with our tongues and what we believe in our hearts in the deeds we do. And make no mistake. If the deeds are good and consistent, then inshallah, what we said was truthful and what believed is there in the heart. A real reflection. The deeds are always the reflection of what we say and what we believe. Some people are so generous with their friends and colleagues and so on. When it comes to the wife, they are like this. Why did you buy that 50 pence? Why did you buy that 60 pence? Why did you buy this 3 pounds? Even little things, that is not good akhlaq. If you do that to your wife, if you are the one who's spending and she relies on you to do that, you're not going to make her life a good life, and she as a bounce back upon you, your life is not going to be good. If you are really generous, be generous first with your children and wife, and then be generous with your friends and colleagues and others. This is just an example. You know, maybe what we see from day to day and what people complain about. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek halal, to distance yourself from haram, and according to the hadith, the shubha as well. But by the way, it doesn't mean that because for some with very little knowledge, there are a lot of shubuhat. With knowledge, then this shubuhat should be clarified. And it is not the deen of Allah to avoid everything because we don't want to fall into haram and oblige the others to do the same. This is not the deen. I have seen, we call it talabat ilm, people who seek knowledge. So they, you know, and people come and they, when they ask them, their fatwa or their answer is, if you like, a pious fatwa. That is not knowledge. If anyone, I can build a hole like that, I'm not a civil engineer. If I make the walls 1 meter thick, it will work. But I would have spent 5-6 times more money. And that is not the alim. The alim, he finds a way. Please, can you someone holds the door because it's annoying everybody. Jazakumullah khair. Is to find a way to the one who is asking the question and to find a way from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ignorance is not an answer. And also piety you apply to yourself. But you don't apply it to people. You apply Al-Quran and the sunnah. And say, yes, it is halal, you can do that. Rather than saying, oh no, avoid it, avoid that, don't do that. And then everything is haram. And people then, they will not believe you and they'll do what they like. They will go outside. Extra Islamic they become. Because every time you say haram to them, you should give the correct answer. If you don't know, refer them to a real alim. Al-ibadah, salah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the five times, and the sunan, and the witr, and the qiyam, etc. Zakah, paying zakah, and sadaqah, beyond the zakah. Fasting, the month of Ramadan, fasting beyond Ramadan. Hajj, umrah, and so on. Dhikr, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billah. These are all the actions of the body, and also dua, and other things. Al-amal al-salih, ahadu lawazim al-iman, wa juz'un minh. Faman kana yarju liqa'a rabbihi, falya'mal amalan salihan, wa la yushrik bi'ibabati rabbihi ahada. So, we should do good deeds, and we should not assign any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is this side, if you like, of the equation. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. So that is what we have been talking about. العمل الصالح, good deeds, iman, in our lifetime, and then that leads to good life. حياة طيبة, good life, which we all seek. To be happy. To fear not. To regret nothing. Of course, the base of fear, the base of regret is always there. But we should not live. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. You don't fear what is coming and you do not feel any regrets about the past. So this ayah, and it again, it's the 14 times in the Quran, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, in various surahs and in various contexts, is really to have that life. That you don't fear what is coming to you, because fear is for the future, and to have regrets and to feel sad is about the past. And if you are immune to both, until you die, then it is in Yawm al-Qiyamah, there is no fear whatsoever, there is happiness, there are no regrets whatsoever. This is the true manifestation of this ayah. This is al-hayat al-tayyibah. And not necessarily in money, although we all need money, and we should work. We should not depend on others. And it doesn't mean that If you have 10,000 pounds, you have Hayat Tayyiba. If you have less than, no, this is not the way. Of course, there is a poverty line and so on. But even being poor should not mean that life is not good. You work your best, and then whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that gives you as a believer, you are happy, you are satisfied. Then you can live a good life. So it is between that, between the obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be happy, to have tranquility, to be satisfied in what you have, whether it is what Allah gave you in terms of home or children or wife or money or job, so you are happy. Of course, you have to work for that, but once you've done that, then you should be happy, and then you can live that good life. يقول صاحب الظلال وفي الحياة أشياء كثيرة غير المال الكثير تطيب بها الحياة في حدود الكفاية. This is in في ظلال القرآن, one of the great tafsirs that reflects the life of people into it. It was written in the 50s and 60s of the last century, and it talks about al-hayat tayyiba, good life. It says that there are so many things in life apart from money that life becomes good. And he says that to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to trust him, to feel that he will look after you and he will cover your shortcomings and he will be satisfied with you. Health, tranquility, to be satisfied with what you have, to be blessed, al-barakah. Sometimes you have 10 pounds, they go a very long way. Sometimes someone, he has 10,000 pounds and then he has to repair their car and they have to do something about their health and they have to... So it is really the barakah. And if you really look into your life with happiness, you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and compare, you'll find that Allah can put barakah in the less. And Allah may take barakah from the more, depending on our approach to life. To be happy with your home. Of course, Allah, a bigger home may make you happier. But if you work hard and that's all what you can afford, 70 square meters or less or more, say Alhamdulillah. A smaller home with happiness is better than a larger home with quarrel, with sadness, with dissatisfaction, and so on. And also you should be happy. You came here, Alhamdulillah, you did your best to attend Al-Jum'ah. Alhamdulillah, you pray, you listened, and you, inshallah, decide to take some lessons and maybe share some of what you heard with your friends who did not attended elsewhere, or your wife or children. You should feel happy. This is that should give you happiness and contribute to your good life. And every time you look after the widow and the orphan and the poor, you should feel Alhamdulillah, may Allah make me continue with this good. So it should really provide you with that good life. Money is only one element, and if you work hard enough without neglecting your other duties, then you should be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله: إن جنتي وبستاني في صدري أينما رحت لا تفارقني. ابن تيمية says he was one of the great ulamas in the Hijri century. He was a great scholar. He stood up for the rulers of his time, and he said, and his fatwas sometimes upset even his colleagues of other scholars, because they thought he stepped outside the norm. But he only did, wallahu alam, what makes Allah happy with him. And he was, of course, hounded by the rulers, and he was put in prison, and he ultimately died in prison. He actually authored some books. They took all the reference from him. He wrote some books, and the ulama counted 500 references that he referred to from his own heart. From Al-Bukhari, Muslim, the books of fiqh, the books of nahu, poetry, and all sorts. He was a library and a great scholar. May Allah give him rahmah. What did he say? He said, my Jannah and my garden is in my chest, in my heart. Wherever I go, it is portable. It goes with me. It does not leave me. And that's what you should ask yourself. If you move from A to B and B to C and you feel your mood changed, then think again. Revise yourself, because you really should be consistent. If you were happy because you had a better job and now you are less happy because for some reason you lost a previous job and you are really very sad and your life is not good and you reflect that into your wife and children, think again. There is something wrong in your life, because that you should be satisfied. And that is what he says. And others, they said, if the kings and their sons know the happiness we are in, they would fight us with the swords. And these people, they did not have palaces, they did not have luxury items, or but they reached a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like reflection of the ayah we mentioned in their life. And last, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَلَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. You have the ayah for good life, very simple, and this ayah reflects the other life. Whoever turns away from Allah, his life will be a bad life, and that is through either belief and not doing good deeds, or not to believe at all. Then they will have a bad life in this, on this earth, and they will be punished, waliyadu billah, in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'minun falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibah walanajziyannahum ajrahum bi ahsani ma kanu ya'malun. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بالحق كلمة الدين. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير، ومن أراد بهم سوءا فاقصمه وأخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا، وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم احقن دماء المسلمين، اللهم وحد كلمتهم، اللهم اجمعهم على لا إله إلا الله، اللهم ردهم إلى كتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم ردا جميلا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.